Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner today, Sunday dinner. Also, making delicious scones, whether they're sweet or savory. The drink of the week, my sweet tooth, and guess what? The pantry party. That's all coming up here on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department, with delivery and van service available. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And sometimes I do cook some flops. And here's what I cooked up. Well, this weekend we had a dinner party at my house, Gourmet Club. So it was a wonderful meal last night. And, you know, it was not a difficult meal to cook because I love cooking fall kind of harvest meals. It's really comfort food is my favorite. And so last night we got together and we had a harvest dinner at my house. Dinner started off with a bruschetta with roasted beets and goat cheese and balsamic vinegar and more. Also a velvety wild mushroom soup with tarragon, rosemary roast duck with cranberry, fig, port reduction was good. All of it was great. Mushroom wild rice, roasted vegetables from my garden, and we had a couple of delicious pies. One was apple and one was cherry with homemade vanilla custard ice cream. So there was no shortage of food, and I was thankful for every little bit of it. It was so good, and the company was great. The wine, great. So, also homemade rhubarb wine. So I'm just going to go through a couple of those recipes with you, starting off with let's start off with the rosemary roasted duck. We're just going to go with the ones that I made. I made the main dish because it was at my house last night. And you can always get duck at, I'm not going to say always, but I picked up a couple duck down at Trading Union and took those home and just thawed them. The nice thing about cooking duck, I mean, you can look up tons of different recipes and that says to marinate them for 18 to 24 hours and this and that. You really don't need to do that to get good duck meat and a nice crisp skin. So you're going to need your duck. I bought two ducks for this, serving eight people, and I wanted leftover. So I also used two large onions. I picked up some rosemary. And I picked up a lot of rosemary because I wanted the duck to have a lot of rosemary flavor to it. So I, a couple rosemary sprigs per duck. So two or four rosemary sprigs. I also used some small little clementines. Or you can just use orange slices. That's fine too. Three per duck. Also, you need some kosher salt, fresh ground pepper, and that's all you need. to cook a really good duck. And preheat your oven to 425. You're going to take the duck and put them on a cutting board, breast side down. You're going to want to remove the neck if the neck is still there. Cut that off and put that into a stock pot, because immediately you can start cooking that down. And you also cut off any extra fat off the duck that's kind of hanging around the cavity. Cut that off as well and put that in a stock pot with some onion. That would be great. But really the main thing that I use that for is to just render off the fat from those, because I don't know if you've ever had vegetables or anything cooked in duck fat, but it is so good. It's really a flavorful fat. And so whenever I can, I try to save that to use for different dishes. It does keep in the refrigerator for quite a while. So if you add that to some boiling water and let that cook down for quite a while and then put it in the refrigerator, that fat will be at the top and you can scoop it off and you can use it for like duck fat roasted potatoes and all sorts of good things. So you have your duck and you've cut off the neck and you've cut off the extra fat. Then you turn it and you're going to want to score the duck with a paring knife. You know, you can also prick the duck with a knife or a pin, something like that, and prick holes in it. You want the fat to be able to release. And I just score it. And the nice thing about scoring it is that it looks really nice, too, because then the skin kind of tightens up. And then you have these really nice score lines, and it looks nice. So I start with the breast side, and I work my way down and just start scoring at an angle every quarter inch. Make sure you just cut through the fat and not into the meat. Both sides of the duck. Turn it over, continue scoring, score some of the legs, make sure you score the thighs, and you just kind of make those score marks everywhere. And you're going to do that to both sides. Then sprinkle the inner cavity with lots of salt. And then stuff it with the two bunches of rosemary. I also stuffed it with 4/4 of an onion, so a whole onion, and then I cut the little oranges in half and threw those in there too. So it's going to have that nice orange flavor and the salt, and delicious. I did that to both, and then sprinkled the duck with more salt, and quite a bit of salt, because we're going to draw out all of the fat and we want that skin to be nice and crispy. So then put them in the roasting pan, breast side down. Then they're all stuffed and you've got some rosemary hanging out of the cavity. It looks great. Put it in your oven on 425 for about 40, 45 minutes. And actually, I forgot to tell you too, you want to take a little bit of water. Don't start off with no water in the pan, but a little bit, maybe like a half a cup, and then that water will eventually evaporate, and by the time the water has evaporated, then a lot of the fat has now collected on the bottom of the pan. So after about 45 minutes, the water has evaporated, the duck is starting to turn a nice brown color, and you also halfway through might want to rotate your pan, especially if you think your oven has a little bit of uneven heat in it. If you have a convection roast, then go ahead and use that, because I love the convection roast. That fan just kind of keeps everything circulating, but go ahead and rotate the pan halfway through. But after about 40, 45 minutes, then you can take it out, take the pan out, and remove the duck from the pan, put it on a platter or on a cutting board, and then take off the fat off the roasting pan. Just pour it into something and set that aside. You'll want to keep it because you want to use it for lots of great things. And then turn the duck over then, so now the breast side is going to be up. and then you're going to put it back in the oven for another 50 minutes or so. And you want the meat to be maybe about 150. I did not 150 degrees. I didn't even use my thermometer yesterday. I just knew it, the great smell, and because the duck just had this beautiful dark brown color to the skin, it was crispy, it was delicious, very great. So, and that was pretty much it. That's so easy to make. You don't have to fuss, really. Just the scoring is the hardest part about the whole thing. And I had some leftover fresh figs that I bought from Chelan a while back, and they were still really good in the refrigerator. So I cut those up in half, and about 20 minutes before I took the duck out of the oven, I sprinkled those in the pan, and so they roasted in there. And once it was done, I just let them, I took them out of the oven, tented them with a little bit of foil, and bam, they're done. Also, I made a wild rice dish, which, you know, we don't have very often, and you know why, is because wild rice is so expensive. You can pay for a cup of wild rice $10. I had some wild rice that somebody gave us from Minnesota, so fortunately I didn't have to buy wild rice to go with this dish. I really wanted wild rice. If you can find it somewhere pretty inexpensive, bring it home, because you want to have, I mean, wild rice is so delicious. It's so nutty. And so I had some of that, and I also had some red rice that I put with the wild rice. And the ratio 3-1, so 3 cups of water or broth to 1 cup of rice. And I used broth, chicken broth. So the first thing I did, a little bit of butter, some chopped up shallots, like almost a cup of chopped shallots, and then a cup and a half to 2 cups of finely chopped mushrooms, and mix that around and let them get golden and let the mushrooms cook down just a little bit, a few minutes, in the butter. And then add your wild rice. So I added 2 cups of wild rice, a little bit of red rice, and stirred that around in the butter and the shallot and the mushroom mixture. It was smelling so good. And after you let that cook for a few minutes, let the wild rice kind of soak up some of that, then you can add your broth. Bring it back to a boil, and then put it on simmer and let it cook for about 50 minutes. Sometimes an hour, maybe more. Wild rice can be tricky because sometimes it takes a lot longer than what you think. So that's cooking away. And then let me tell you about the roasted vegetables. So I decided, since this was a harvest meal, we had all this great harvest. You know, we had the wild mushroom soup, which was amazing. And we had, you know, bruschetta, and I thought, I'm going to get some veggies from the garden. There were still some in there. So pulled out some small carrots, nice carrots, probably 4 and 5 inches long, perfect. Also, we had, we used golden beets, and some, this was amazing. When I went out to the garden, there it was, just the cutest little white pumpkin, about 6 inches in diameter, and perfect. So I sliced that up into pieces. I cut it in half, and then I scooped out the seeds and then sliced it up so it was about the size of the carrots. Everything would roast together well. The beets had a really nice red skin to them and the golden flesh inside. So cut off the top and cut off the bottom, and then I just took my vegetable peeler and peeled some little strips onto the beets, just peeled off strips of skin. So it had that red and yellow stripe to them, and then just cut those in half and then quartered them. So they were the same thickness also as the carrots and the squash. And then I took some of that great duck fat and mixed with it some Bojis mustard, so some stone ground mustard, whatever kind you have. So a couple tablespoons of duck fat, a tablespoon of Bojis, and a couple tablespoons of honey. Mix it all together, and it's super flavorful. It's got the sweet, it's got the tanginess, it's got that rich flavor of the duck fat, and just whip that together and then drizzle it over your vegetables. Put all your vegetables in a bowl and then toss them. For the carrots, I just took off the very little tip, and I didn't take the skin off because our carrots are organic. I didn't have to worry about them soaking up a bunch of anything. So I just left that good skin on there, and but I did chop the tops off, and I left about 2 inches of green. So they had that nice green look, too. It was nice. Toss it all together and put it onto a baking sheet and use some parchment so you don't have to spend so much time cleaning your pan. Parchment right now is my new best friend. I go through so much parchment. Everything I do on a cookie sheet, I put parchment down first. It saves on cleaning time. It's so easy. I love it. And sometimes you can reuse your parchment. Depends on what you're putting onto it. And that If You Care brand, I think that's the kind I have. You can get it in sheets. I don't know if you can get it in town, but you can get it by the roll. But so easy is just to be able to pull out the sheet, and you don't have to worry about cutting it or anything. And you've got a nice sheet. It fits great on your cookie sheet. So look around for those. And then put those in the oven. Actually, I just slid them in underneath the duck when the duck was cooking on the lower level of the oven and let those, they cooked for about 50 minutes, maybe 45. And I took the duck, when I took the duck out, I just moved them up to the middle rack and let them sit there. So a great meal. It went so well together. Once the duck came out of the pan and Rodney was taking it off the bone, and it was so tender and flavorful, then I made a reduction with fresh cranberries, the figs from the pan, and some port wine. So basically I took the whole pan and put it on my stove. You could use, it was quite a big roasting pan, so you could use the two burners together, or I have like a middle longer burner on my stove, and I just put it on the middle burner, turned it up, and right away started scraping up all those little bits from the duck, and there was a little duck fat still in there. Most of it rendered off toward the beginning, that first 40 minutes. But there were still some in there, and then I had the figs, so I just turned that up and let that boil. And then I added the cranberries, like a cup of wild cranberries, and let those start to cook and burst a little bit. And then add some port wine. I probably used maybe a half of a cup, three quarters of a cup of port wine, and let that reduce down. And once it was nice and reduced, then add some butter to that, a couple tablespoons. It really makes it nice and creamy and thick. Gives it that little flavor, and then a little salt and pepper to that, and we were good to go. And just spoon that over the duck. Delicious, and it was super rich but good. The whole meal worked out well together. So there you have it. That's a good harvest meal. You can cook a meal like that. You don't have to have duck. You could use chicken, or you can use a Cornish game hen. You can also use, if you're out duck hunting, I don't know if it's duck hunting season still, but if you're out duck hunting, you could use wild duck. My wild duck never tastes like I want it to for some reason, but, you know, bacon always works for those wild duck as well to put on there, but delicious. Either way, it's very, very good. So give that meal a try. And if you have any questions about cooking duck or any of these dishes I just mentioned, you can email mindy@kfsk.org and I will help you out with that. Or you can just give me a call. I can even walk you through it. So that was Sunday dinner at my house. We also had, fresh baked buttery bread, braided bread. It was so good. But coming up next, and partially because of the cranberries that I have, I really want to make some good cranberry scones. So today I decided to talk about delicious sweet and savory scones you can eat for breakfast, lunch, or tea. So maybe in the afternoon when you need a little bit of something. That's coming up next here on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today we're talking about scones. Some of you might think, what are scones? And they're kind of like biscuits. They're Scottish origin, commonly used, served at tea time. They were first popular in England, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland. But now, they're super popular in Western states, United States, and people love scones. You can get them at lots of bakeries now, and, of course, Starbucks, and any place that serves coffee generally will have some scones. They used to be just circular, but now they come in all sorts of shapes. I've seen, you know, of course, triangular scones, square scones, heart-shaped scones, little mini scones, bigger scones. They can be quite elaborate. The basic recipe is flour, butter, sugar, baking powder, and also soda, sometimes not. Milk, but now you can add so many other things. Buttermilk scones are very popular. Fresh fruits, nuts, other delicious ingredients, chocolate, dried fruits, even flower waters sometimes. They can be served plain, sugar-coated, with a glaze. And like I said, many scone recipes are sweet, but savory scones are becoming very popular, which are my favorite. You know, like chives, bacon, cheese, all that sort of thing. And they melt in your mouth. They're flaky if you cook them right. You use cold butter. You mix the cold butter with your flour, kind of like you do pie dough. And the traditional way is to make it with your hands. But nowadays, people with food processors use food processors, which is what I do. I am wearing my food processor out. I've been using it so much. So do use food processors if you're short of time, but, you know, using your hands is good, too. Anyway, that's a little bit about scones. Let's move on to some recipes. I love cheese, of course, and the idea of a cheesy kale scones sounds really, really good. And so I wanted to share this recipe by Posy Hardwood. And what you need is 14 ounces of really good butter. You need 6 cups of all-purpose flour, 4.5 teaspoons of baking powder, and 1.5 teaspoons of baking soda. Also, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1.5 teaspoons of salt. Your basic ingredients for making biscuits and baked goods: butter, flour, baking powder, baking soda, sugar, and salt. Something you generally have in your pantry. Also, 4 ounces of fresh kale, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1/2 cup of pine nuts, 3/4 cup of like a hard, sharp cheese like pecorino or parmesan, and a little more for maybe sprinkling on top, some black pepper, some sea salt, and 2 cups, 1.5 to 2 cups of buttermilk. Also an egg. So cut up the butter in small cubes and make sure it's chilled in the refrigerator. It should be really, really cold, but you don't want it to be frozen. Whisk all the dry ingredients together in a large bowl, or add them to a food processor and give them a little bit of pulse. Add the cold butter, and you want to pulse them until they're like pea-sized chunks. And you can do it by hand by cutting in the butter with a fork or a pastry cutter, but the food processor is definitely easier. Refrigerate the butter and flour mixture while you get the rest of the ingredients out. It's important to keep that butter cold. Chop the kale into bite-sized pieces. Drizzle lemon juice over the kale. Kind of work it in a little bit. Then in a skillet over medium heat, you're going to toast the pine nuts until they're golden brown and smell fragrant. And preheat your oven to 400. Most of the time when you're making scones, your oven is going to be at about 400. While the oven heats up, you can remove your butter flour mixture from the refrigerator. Mix in the kale, the grated cheese, the nuts, and some sea salt and black pepper. And mix it into the dough, and then pour 1.5 cups of buttermilk over the mixture and gently toss. Make sure you're evenly coating all of the dry ingredients. Turn the dough out onto the counter or a work surface, and you can't get away without doing this generally. So you might do part with your food processor, but the rest of it you need to do on a floured surface in front of you. So using your hands, you start bringing the mound of dough together, and a lot of times it's just going to be pretty wet, but you know, if it's dry, you drizzle in a little more buttermilk. If you see some dry spots, drizzle in some more. But you want it to be kind of a wet dough to begin with. And you're starting to knead in a little bit of that flour that's on the board. But it'll come together nicely, and you'll have a nice dough there. Try not to mash it down too much or press it down too much. You're just kind of folding around with your fingers the dough onto itself. Don't push like you would bread. And so it takes about 6 turns and 6 folds, and then you have the dough, and it should be nice and layered. To divide the dough into 2 pieces and then press them into a flat round disc, maybe about 7 to 8 inches in diameter. And the egg that you have, you're going to beat that egg lightly and then brush it over the dough. Sprinkle the top of the dough with a little bit of black pepper and some flaky sea salt and a little more grated cheese, and then you're going to slice the disc into 6 even triangles and transfer the triangles to your parchment-lined baking sheet. Bake at 400 for 10 minutes. Then you can reduce it and bake for an additional 15 to 20 minutes on 350. So start at 400, bake it for 10, turn it down, and an additional 15 to 20 minutes, they're going to be golden brown and delicious. The thing I like about scones is that you can turn scones into sandwiches. They're great with soups and stews. You can put other ingredients in like ham or sausage, even broccoli, and really turn them into a lunch, and you could send them off with your kids for lunch, and there's vegetables and meat and goodness into a scone. Has a really good feel, a homemade scone. You know, they're, especially when you make them yourself, you're like, oh, I made this wonderful thing that everyone loves, and it's a good feeling. So there's a cheesy kale scone. But, oh my gosh, there are so many combinations. I'm just giving you lots of ideas. Basically, all the scones are the same. Some use yogurt, so you can think about that instead of buttermilk. So a savory scone with feta, chive, and rosemary. Feta cheese, if you like the tang of feta cheese. So 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/2 tablespoon of sugar, 1 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder, and 1/4 teaspoon of soda, 1/4 teaspoon of salt. So there you have your basic 5. Also some cracked pepper, 1/4 teaspoon, some cold unsalted butter cubed, and 1/2 cup. She can't make those without butter, right? Well, maybe you can. But I don't know. I've never made a scone without butter before. Also, an egg, some cold milk, about 4 tablespoons, some Greek yogurt, 1/2 cup, some feta cheese, large chunks, about 1/2 cup, some finely chopped chives, about 1/8 cup, and 2 tablespoons of finely chopped rosemary. And because the feta, chive, and rosemary, you might want to have some herbs or spice to sprinkle on the top. It's just going to give it a little extra fresh flavor, like salt, pepper, smoked paprika. Yum. Also, an egg and a little bit of milk for an egg wash. But you don't really need the milk either. You can wash it with just egg, but sometimes milk is good too. So preheat your oven once again to 400 and line your baking tray with parchment. You can use your food processor and combine all the dry ingredients together. Your flour, your sugar, baking powder, baking soda, salt, cracked pepper. And then add in the cold cubed butter and pulse until the pea-sized chunks appear. Pour it out onto your floured work surface. Let that sit for a second. And in a separate bowl, you're going to mix your egg, milk, yogurt together until it's mixed. Make the well in the center of your dough, of your dry ingredients, and then pour the wet ingredients in. And then, using your fingers, mix in all the dough till it's come together. Then sprinkle on your feta and your herbs. Fold that in gently till all the herbs and cheese have been distributed. And try not to work the dough too much. And really, this process goes by pretty quick. So roll it out into like 1.5 inch thickness. And for this one, you can use cookie cutters or biscuit cutters. You can cut these in rounds and then put them on your baking tray, put the egg wash over the top, and sprinkle on some salt and pepper and a little bit of smoked paprika, and throw them in the oven and bake them for about 14 to 15 minutes. And you can serve these with sour cream or cream cheese, or you could serve them with, some prosciutto. Cut them open, a little prosciutto, some cold cuts. Ooh, you know what would be really good on this? Like a little bit of cream cheese and some smoked salmon. You can make a little sandwich out of it. But you don't have to make them round and go through the whole step of the biscuit cutter either. You can just, cut them into wedges as well, triangles, 6 of them. And it's easy. Now, I know my daughter would love this scone with some cream cheese and smoked salmon. Yeah. Another idea for a good scone is, I always love Gruyere cheese. It's hard to get and it is expensive. So sometimes, you could just get some Swiss cheese instead. It's still going to be good. It's not going to be as sharp. And then a little prosciutto. It's hard to find something to replace prosciutto with. Because if you can't find prosciutto, chances are you probably can't find like Parma ham or something like that. But Gruyere prosciutto and green onion, yum. And that really makes a good bread pudding too. But here is a scone with Gruyere prosciutto and green onion, 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/2 of a cup of butter, 2 large eggs, and 2/3 cup of buttermilk. And then you have your grated Gruyere, 2/3 cup, 1/2 a cup of chopped prosciutto, and 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan, and your green onion, 1/4 cup. A couple tablespoons of half and half, some sea salt, and if you want to sprinkle some Parmesan on the top, that, you know, that's good too. So once again, you're going to whisk together the flour, sugar, baking powder, and salt. You can do that in your food processor. Cut the butter into the flour mixture until you have coarse crumbs. Whisk the eggs and combine them with the buttermilk. Add the flour mixture and stir just until moist. Then in a small bowl, mix together the Gruyere, prosciutto, Parmesan, and green onion. Add this to the batter and mix lightly. The dough will be sticky. You can do all of this on the floured surface in front of you. You could do it in a bowl. There's no real set way. You just don't want to overmix. Turn the sticky dough and knead it until the cheese, prosciutto, and green onion are incorporated into the dough. You're going to roll it 3/4 inch thick and cut out 3-inch squares. Then you can cut them diagonally and make triangles. So this recipe makes about 10 scones. Put them on a baking sheet lined with parchment, brush with a little half and half, sprinkle with some sea salt, and place them in the oven at 400. If you want to really make that butter cold, if you've been working with it, maybe you think you've worked with it too much, you can put it in the refrigerator or freezer for a few minutes, and that'll harden up that butter a little bit, and then stick them in the oven. That's an option that you can think about. And bake them for 20 minutes on 400, sprinkle with a little extra Parmesan, and serve warm. So that's a Gruyere, prosciutto, and green onion scone. Savory scone. I could just eat that for lunch. That would be good. But you don't have to, have meat in your scones. Of course, you can just do like a flaky cheddar scone with, you can incorporate cornmeal. You could use buttermilk. Of course, you want to use sharp cheddar, because if you use a mild cheddar, it doesn't have the flavor. Try to use sharp cheddar if you can. And then perfect with a cheddar scone would be some diced ham, also some green onions. And that would be really good for soups. And you can also use it for, of course, chili. It would make a really good base for an egg sandwich in the morning. You could put a scrambled egg in between your scone. So flaky cheddar scone. Sounds good, doesn't it? And use that sharp cheddar. I think I love different casseroles that have sausage in it. And you can also put sausage in a scone as well and pack that in there like a little breakfast meal. This is a sausage cheese scone. Couple teaspoons of granulated sugar and a couple cups of all-purpose flour, 1 teaspoon of baking powder and 1/4 teaspoon of soda, 1/2 a teaspoon of salt. You need 6 tablespoons of butter, very cold, 3/4 cup of Greek yogurt. If you don't have Greek yogurt, sour cream will work. You need a large egg. You need 1/2 a pound of browned crumbled sausage. It depends on what kind of sausage you want to use. Maybe you want to use more of an Italian. If you use like a breakfast type sausage, it's going to have a different flavor. Also a couple cups of grated cheddar cheese, but you can use another cheese. And an optional green onions would be good with that too. Heat your oven to 400 once again. You're going to combine your flour, sugar, baking soda, baking powder, and salt. So we have that theme, right? Put the dry ingredients together, put it in your food processor, or you just cut the butter in with a knife or your hands, and there you have it. Mix that up together. You could put that back in the fridge if you want, if it needs to get cold again, while you stir the yogurt and the egg together. You can add that to the dry ingredients, along with the cheese and the green onions and the sausage. Work it together with your hands on your floured surface in front of you, and knead just enough until it sticks together. Form it into a 10-inch circle. Cut the dough into wedges. Transfer to your parchment-lined cookie sheet, or you can put it in a cast-iron skillet. Would be good. And bake 20 to 23 minutes until lightly browned. Sausage and cheese scone. So good. Here's some other ideas. Pesto Parmesan scones. Wouldn't those be great, like in squares, and then you cut them open and you can put, make a sandwich out of that, like a vegetable sandwich with mozzarella cheese and thinly sliced tomatoes, a little olive oil, maybe some marinated eggplant. That would be delicious. Or some sliced prosciutto or ham. Pesto Parmesan scones sandwiches. Whoa. Here's another one. You could, an idea, spinach artichoke scones. Chop the artichokes up fine. Chop the spinach up. If you're using the spinach, you could use just the frozen spinach even. And you just get a block of like Green Giant frozen chopped spinach or whatever brand you like. And you want to make sure if you are using the spinach that was frozen, that once it's thawed, you really squeeze out all of that excess juice. And so it's nice and dry, and then it cooks a lot better. But spinach artichoke scones, doesn't that sound delicious? Oh, maybe with some sun-dried tomatoes in there? Yum. Or you could make a sun-dried tomato cream cheese. How about mushroom onion scones? Delicious. But before we move on to something else, let's talk a little bit about some sweet scones. And before we, I give you a couple recipes for sweet scones, you know that you can make your own homemade clotted cream. For those who really want to put on a tea party and you want clotted cream, you need 2 pints of heavy cream, not ultra-pasteurized. And that's really hard to find. But some of the organic ones are not ultra-pasteurized. So 2 pints of heavy cream, and then you need like a heavy casserole dish. And you're going to do this overnight. So set your oven to 180. My oven only goes to 170, so that's the best I can do. I can set my oven to 180. Mine goes the lowest to 170. So if you want to set it on your lowest temperature, you can do that, which I probably would anyway. Pour the cream into the casserole dish and put the dish in your oven. Let it sit undisturbed overnight for like 12 hours. Keep the door shut and remove the dish from the oven in the morning and set it out to cool. And then cover it and refrigerate it. And then the next morning you can scoop that thick cream, it's going to be nice and thick, into a jar. And cover it and put it back in the refrigerator, and then you have clotted cream that you can spread on freshly baked scones. Give it a try. You can flavor it up a little bit too, put a little bit of vanilla in it. And that's what you would use for like lavender honey scones. Delicious. 3/4 cup of whipping cream, 2 tablespoons of honey, 2 tablespoons of dried lavender buds. Hard to find, but you can get them. I was more prone to this because I have that big lavender plant on my porch. So anything I find with lavender, I'm all over it right now. 1 tablespoon of dried lavender buds, 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 6 tablespoons of butter, and 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 egg slightly beaten. So, of course, preheat your oven to 400. In a small saucepan, 3/4 cup of whipping cream, 2 tablespoons of honey, and the lavender, and you're going to warm that up until it begins to steam, and you're going to have this lavender honey cream. So then let that chill after you've cooked it about 10 minutes. Then let that chill completely, so you have that flavored cream. Then, meanwhile, in a large bowl, you've got your flour, baking powder, and salt. Cut your butter into the dry mixture, or use your food processor. And then, on your floured surface, you dump that out. You make a well in the middle. You whisk an egg into the cooled cream, and you add that egg mixture to your flour. And you can use a fork, you can use your fingers, stir it until it's moistened. You can knead it, the dough, by gently pressing. Pat it into a rectangle, like 10 by 4 inch, or you could use the circle. Cut it into rectangles that way. And then place them 2 inches apart on parchment on your baking sheet. Brush with a little bit of whipping cream and bake 13 to 15 minutes or until golden brown. Remove from the baking sheet. Drizzle with a little extra honey and serve warm. Yum. Honey is so good. It's so versatile. It's amazing what you can do with it. You can also use that same sort of recipe, the same type of recipe for with dried fruit. Here's one for dried cherry pistachio scones. Love that combination. And then what about just a recipe for all these wonderful little cranberries right now? 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup of sugar, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, and 1/4 teaspoon of soda. 1 teaspoon of salt, 8 tablespoons of butter, 1 1/2 cups of roughly chopped fresh cranberries, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 cup of sour cream, and powdered sugar to sprinkle over the top of these. Heat your oven to 400. Whisk your flour, sugar, baking powder, baking soda, and salt in a bowl. Add the butter. And then add your cranberries to your flour mix. Then mix the milk, the sour cream. Add it to the dry ingredients. There you have it. It'll be nice and sticky. Turn it out onto your surface with flour and pat it down into your disc. Fold it over a couple times. Cut the disc into 8 wedges. Bake them on your parchment-lined baking sheet for 18 to 28 minutes. Then let the scones cool. Sprinkle them with a little powdered sugar. So there's a good cranberry scone recipe, just about like the other ones. You could use buttermilk instead of milk and sour cream. It's all up to you. And that's it for scones today. Hopefully I've inspired you to do something. I'm going to make some hearty, savory scones. I'm going to send them off with Evelyn to school lunch. Coming up next on KFSK, we're going to have the drink of the week. And it might have cranberries in it. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Hosting trivia on Wednesdays, open mic on Thursdays, and DJs for dancing on the weekends. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, open 7 days a week. Lots of cranberries out there. They're in abundance. So lots of recipes for cranberries. Here is a cinnamon and cranberry bourbon spritzer. It's the drink of the week. You need 6 ounces of bourbon. Also, 3 ounces of dry ginger ale. And you can also get a dry ginger ale with cranberry. And if you can't find that, you can use like 6 ounces of dry ginger ale and just add a little bit of cranberry juice, about an ounce. Also, a little splash of orange juice, tablespoon of cinnamon simple syrup, and some cranberries for garnish. To make cinnamon simple syrup, you need 2 cups of water, 6 cups of cinnamon, or 6 cups, 6 cinnamon sticks, and 2 cups of granulated sugar. To make the syrup, combine the water and the cinnamon sticks in your saucepan over high heat. Bring to a boil and let it boil for 10 to 15 minutes so the water really takes on the cinnamon. And then you add the sugar. Cook it until the sugar is dissolved. Then pour it into an airtight container and seal, and the simple syrup will last a couple weeks. In a large shaker or glass, add a handful of ice along with the bourbon, the ginger ale, cranberry, the orange juice, and the cinnamon simple syrup. Give it a good shake, pour it into glasses with or without ice, garnish with some fresh cranberries. That's a cinnamon and cranberry bourbon spritzer. You can make it without the bourbon, and you would have some just ginger ale, cranberry, and orange juice with that wonderful simple syrup, and that would be good too. And because I really wanted to give you this mini cranberry apple pie recipe today, just thinking about all the things I can do with these wonderful little cranberries and mini apple pies that you can hold in your hand. So they're just little hand pies. Easy to make. They don't take much. You know how to make the dough because, you know, it's mixing your dry ingredients, adding your butter to it, just like we've been talking about. Here's your crust, 2.5 cups of flour, 2 teaspoons of sugar, 1 cup of butter, which is 2 sticks, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 cup of cold water. You're going to prepare your dough for your pie crust first. You can use pre-made crust if you want, or if you have a pie crust recipe you love, go for it. I have some pie crust that I made this weekend, and I'm ready to rock and roll with these things. I just need to find the time to roll out the dough and get them made. Making the crust when you've got a little time is perfect because you just pull it out of the fridge and you have it. So if you have your crust ready, you can make this in about 20 minutes. So right, cube your butter, put it in a food processor with the flour, the salt, the sugar, mix it for about 30 seconds. You've got your little breadcrumb texture going. Pour it into a mixing bowl and there you have it. Cut your, make sure your butter's cut in there nicely. Add 1/4 cup of the cold water and mix it with, you can mix it with your hands, but if you're using a food processor, just leave it in the food processor and add your water to that. Put it back in the refrigerator and let it cool. Okay, so for the cranberries, you're going to add your cranberries to a saucepan and let them, we want this to be thick. So add your cranberries to a saucepan and stir them occasionally until they start to pop. And once they start doing that, then add 1/2 cup of sugar and orange zest and let it simmer for about 15 minutes until you get like a nice thick jam-like texture. So we don't want this to be runny. We want this to be a thick mixture. Peel and core an apple. So for cranberries, you need 2 cups of cranberries. You're going to need 1/2 cup of sugar and then 2 apples. And then zest from 1 orange. So once the cranberry mixture is nice and thick, you're going to peel and core your apples and dice them, and then take the cranberries off the heat and just stir the apples in. We're not going to cook them way down. You want that apple kind of crunch because they're going to cook a little bit when you bake them. Preheat your oven to 425. You're going to sprinkle some flour on your work surface and roll out the dough to 1/16 inch thick. And you can use a 3-inch biscuit cutter. You're going to use, you know, you've got your bottom piece of dough, and you're going to put in 1 tablespoon of your mixture over the top of that. Make sure you use a little egg wash to seal the edge. You're going to put the other one over the top and give it a little bit of a score on the top. Press the top one together with the bottom. And there you have it, a nice little hand pie, 3-inch. You can also cut an X in your top piece before you ever even put it on top of your little pie, and that works good too. Brush the top with egg wash, put some little sprinkling sugar over the top, bake it for 15 minutes until golden brown, and that's it. That'll make about 16 mini pies. If you want that recipe to go with all those cranberries that you're cooking or you're picking, you can just call me here at 772-3808 or email me, mindy@kfsk.org, and I will get that recipe to you. And coming up next week, it's KFSK's membership week. So very exciting. I have a guest coming next week. Scott from Papa Bears will be here as my guest. And next week, I'm also giving a prize away. Yes, I'm bringing back the pantry party for next week's What's for Dinner. So on membership week, you'll have a chance to win a prize by submitting an original recipe from ingredients seen in My Pantry and Fridge. And I'm going to give you the list of ingredients, and you will create an original recipe using every ingredient from the list. You can add your own ingredients as well. Email your original recipe to me, mindy@kfsk.org, and the creator of the recipe I choose will win a prize, you don't know what it is, and have their recipe published on our website and on KFSK's Facebook page for everybody to try. So make sure it works, because I'm going to try it too, if you submit it early enough. Otherwise, I just have to guess if it's going to turn out right. But you need to have your recipe in to me by 8 a.m. next Monday. So here's this week's pantry and fridge items: squash, sausage, and apples. Very fall, very delicious. Let's see if you're going to make something sweet or savory. What can you make out of this week's pantry and fridge items? Squash, sausage, and apples. Remember, you can add your own ingredients to the list. Email your original recipe to mindy@kfsk.org by 8 a.m. on Monday. And that wraps up this week's What's for Dinner. Thanks for joining me, and I'll be back with more food and recipes next week for Membership Week.